William Shatner, just talking about your great, great resume or bio, joining us. Good morning, New Hampshire, ahead of his trip to the Granite State. Thanks for being with us, Captain.
The Granite State, I love that. I love granite, don't you? Granite is like a great warm rock. Did anybody ever talk about granite?
No, but you probably had some in Montreal when you grew up, and so many things I want to talk to you about. And before you
sure
you
go
visit
ahead,
here,
looking forward to it. I just want you to know that you can also talk to me on March the 3rd on Thursday. The show at the Capitol Center starts at 7. Doors open at 6, and I'll be on stage after this wonderful movie. Refurbished sound and picture, bright and clean, will show, and then I'll come on stage afterwards, and we will have a grand time, me and the audience. Hopefully you'll be there as well.
Well, Captain, so I have to start.
Yes.
Where do you
Did
get
you
the energy? Where do you get the youthful energy from? I mean, I look at your resume and your career and how many shows, musician, all these shows, people forget some of these, T.J. Hooker, Boston Legal, the awards, the recognition, all started really with, well, before Star Trek, but where do you get the energy from?
Granite has a life. I have friends who were rock climbers, and granite emits a heat. There's radioactivity, from my understanding, and granite is really something that's alive. So even these inanimate objects have an energy to it, and maybe it's that's what it is. I don't know. It's just the genetic structure or something. I was watching Yellowstone last night. My wife and I were binging on Yellowstone, and this little old guy, gray-haired, humped over, and the leading character puts his arm around the little old guy, and he says, "Oh, come on, Dad, you're all right." And the guy says, "Well, you know, I'm 90 years old." And I'm, that guy's 90 years old. That's, like, shameful. He was all bent over and old and shaking. And I am, too, but at least I can talk. No, I'm healthy, and the energy, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. When you started in Canadian television and performance after McGill at a young age, and you got in there.
I did.
When you got the cat, when the whole Star Trek thing started, did you have a love for space, or did you grow it over the years because of the character that kind of put you on the global map, really, as Captain Kirk? Did you have a love?
Really both. I didn't think too much about space, but I was enjoying reading. I read a lot, and I was enjoying reading science fiction. So the great science fiction writers of the 60s and 70s, I was reading Theodore Sturgeon, Isaac Asimov. Those guys wrote wonderful stories that, in the guise of science fiction, they were writing human stories that stretched your imagination about what might be out there. So I think when I was offered this show, Star Trek, and the legend is they had made a pilot with another actor, and the NBC didn't like it. They said, "We love the premise, but we don't like what we see on the screen. Recast it." And that's when Roddenberry called me. I was in New York doing something, and he said, "Come and see a pilot. We'd like you." So I went to came back to Los Angeles, looked at the pilot, thought, "My goodness, that is really interesting. It's a little stodgy, but maybe, you know, instead of saying, Mr. Sulu, turn starboard. What are you thinking? Let's go left." You know, if the guys are working together so closely, wouldn't there be more energy, more humor between them? And that, I think, was my contribution.
You know, I don't want to get to...
And it sold. The second pilot sold and became the Star Trek thing.
I don't want to get to your Blue Origin flight yet. I want to build to that in a moment. You're listening to William Shatner live. Good morning, New Hampshire, on our network of news talk stations. He's coming to New Hampshire on Thursday evening, Capitol Center for the Arts, and that's why we have him on, is we want as many of you to go and meet him and have an interactive experience with the captain. But I guess the part of my question is, we all know, it's an amazing, there's not many series that are done that touch so many generations. That you can just say like a household word. It's like an NFL athlete. You just say the name and people remember Mickey Mantle. Well, Star Trek is just, people know it. And tell us one thing that, you know, how much of it was spontaneous? Was it all as scripted? And just of the characters you worked with, Captain and William Shatner, one or two that really just were outstanding people, or did you love the whole cast? It's something unusual that we may not know as Trekkies.
Well, you know, if you were in the theater on Thursday night and you asked that question, I would, you know, I'd delve into it and say these guys, DeForest Kelly did this and that. I loved him, and my dear friend was Leonard Nimoy, and this transpired between us there. I could make you laugh, and there's extensive stories of things that happened that were to jostle my memory, I might speak out loud and make you laugh and even make you cry. And that's the nature of what I'm doing on Thursday night. So, yes, there are some wonderful moments that I spent with especially those two guys who became dear, dear friends. And you know, we spent 12 hours a day for 5 days a week and sometimes go off on publicity jaunts together. With Leonard, I wrestled with divorce and death and success and failure. It was even though we were only together 3 years in filming, the whole concept of doing stuff in front of an audience, doing a Comic-Con, began to take place, and people, the first Comic-Con that I went to early on in the 70s, there were 15,000 people in the audience.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what am I going to do out there? And they said, well, just talk. And I went out, and the actor's nightmare is appearing naked in front of an audience and not know what the next word was. That's the actor's nightmare.
Right.
Every actor has it at one time or another, indicating, you know, your vulnerability. I went out there in front and thinking, God, I hope I don't make a Freudian slip and say somebody's name or a curse word or something. I don't know what I'm going to say, and I must have eked it out, and then gradually found more confidence in being able to talk spontaneously. I was by that time doing a lot of interviews like I'm doing with you, and found the words came and gradually became free mentally, physically as well, to answer a question in front of a lot of people, thousands of people, and entertain myself, make myself laugh as well as the audience.
We only have a few more.
Those are the stories I would tell.
You will on Thursday night. We just have a minute or two left. William Shatner live. I just want to ask you real quick, a short inspirational message from your journey that's still going on this earth for someone out there to go after a dream. And what I
saw for myself was the vulnerability, the awe and shock of space, and that represented death. And the warmth and the vulnerability and the nurturing of Earth and what we're doing, how we're destroying our little tiny rock with this thin envelope of air, how we're destroying it. And I was overwhelmed with grief for the Earth, and those were my salient emotions.
Well, they were genuine, because when you got off the Blue Origin, we were watching live in the monitors in the studios, and you really just seemed to be like an 18 or 15-year-old kid who had just experienced the wildest ride on Earth. Yeah.
And I may say this again in the theater, but what I got back also from that was how vulnerable our Earth is, how vulnerable we little dots on this little dot of an Earth are. And then the final realization, only after I thought about it days on end, days afterwards, was what a miracle we humans are, because we have the ability to realize how vulnerable we are.
Captain Kirk, we have to run. Good luck. Safe trip Thursday to Capitol Center for the Arts.
I look forward to seeing you March 3rd.